This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Fast and Furious in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every single movie in the Fast and Furious cinematic universe.
You think about Burt Meg?
Wrong show. Burt Meg. This is London, baby.
Oh, my God. I'm Tim Geddes. That's Nick Scarpino. That's Greg up. Miller. That's Kevin Coelho. We got Andy Cortez with the zero sugar Coca-Cola.
Is that the same?
Yeah, it'll comment on the salt you've been eating, you psychopath.
It evens it out. Straight it's a balance.
I thought about Andy this morning because I stopped off to get my coffee at the Molly Stone. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I should get some Diet Cokes. And then as I went, I saw the Coke Zeros. Now, yeah. I almost got you, I wasn't sure if you like this or not, but I almost got you the Cherry Coke
Zero. Oh my God, I'm a huge fan, Nicholas. One of my favorites.
Nick, you came through clutch today. He came in with two grocery bags full of just caffeine. Sweet caffeine,
just
baby.
Caffeine.
I opened the fridge today, I was just like, damn.
Yeah.
You
got
you
me
the, sweet
the
one?
Big baby here. Oh, you gotta love it.
On the subreddit, there was a topic the other night of like, Should we be worried about the guy's sleep deprivation? And I started to read, but I fell asleep, so I don't know what it said. they've taken notice out there.
Yeah. They have.
I don't think you guys realize that we go hard for like the 10 hours that we're here, mm-hmm. and then fall asleep like babies at night, just knowing that the work.
You're not
been
watching
done.
Content.
Knowing that the work is, I don't watch our content.
Not our God, no,
just
not
anything.
Our content.
I don't watch
just
this
anything.
Garbage.
Umbrella Academy, fucking.
Ladies
great
and gentlemen,
show.
This is Kinda Funny's Fast and Furious in Review. You can get it every Tuesday at 11 a.m. on twitch.tv/kindafunnygameslive, or you can watch it later on youtube.com/kindafunny. And now, for the very first time, on roosterteeth.com. All of our content is being migrated over there. We're going to be syndicating it all over there.
Down,
right? So yeah, giving you guys options.
Whatever nothing changes. We're
do.
Still independent. Don't mm-hmm. worry. It's just another platform to get our content like YouTube.
I mean,
or
Bernie,
podcast
Bernie and Jeff are our bosses now, though, right? Because Jeff keeps telling me what to do. And
I will be dead in the ground before Jeff is my boss. All
what
right?
about Gus?
Gus, I respect.
Yeah.
I'll Gus is different. Gus is
the opposite with me. I respect Jeff way
I don't
more.
Think, here's
Gus,
the thing.
I don't think Gus respects me.
Here's the thing.
He doesn't respect any of us.
I'm a bad CEO. What if we just tried to poach Gus to be the CEO here?
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Okay.
You can also get it on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify.
In effect.
Just search for Kinda Funny Reviews. We'd appreciate all the likes, all the ratings, all the good stuff. You can also go to patreon.com/kindafunny to get the show ad-free and to contribute to the show for the haiku in review section that we will do later. Today, we are reviewing Fast and Furious 6, a.k.a. Furious 6, the true title of this damn movie. We're going to get right into it, Andy, with some facts of the Furious.
We got infant... No, okay, no. Just...
not what I expected.
A very tempered and muted scream. We got information if you're curious. So here's the facts of the Furious. Facts of the Furious. There we go.
Universal made Justin Lin change the name of this movie. He wanted to call it Furious 6.
Would have been bet.
To end
so good.
The trilogy that he was building there with Fast and Furious, Fast 5, Furious 6. It would have made a lot of sense. The trailers showed Furious 6 for this. The Universal's like, no, we can't sell a movie called Furious 6. People won't understand what it is. Even though Fast 5 was the highest performing movie they've done so far.
Yeah,
and then later they go on to do Furious 7, which is even more successful.
And then they did the spiritual successor, which is Hateful Eight. And you're like, Jesus Christ, anything could sell.
Confusing.
This could just sell.
Yeah, so weird. But
what was the budget on this one?
The budget
on
the, oh yeah, of course. I know for every movie that we've ever talked about, Nick.
I didn't know he was gonna go through that. I was trying to lead him into it.
Oh,
how
dare
you?
What a great
because
partner
I have a
is.
Funny joke.
Okay, the budget was $160 million.
Do you think that $150 million
the
of that
runway?
Went to the music budget to this? Because it's way fucking
it's a
better
really
in
funny
this.
Joke,
it's
dude.
Fucking awesome.
The soundtrack
Although,
in this
Fast Five.
It's good, but they got. I think this is really where they start to up the ante. Where they're like, "Oh, we finally got a little bit extra cash. Let's get some extra people. Let's get Wiz Khalifa in."
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right about that. Released on May 7th.
Because before it just felt like they were like, "Hey, Ludo, you got a spare hour, right? Can you just like?
Well,
put
Luda does
together?
The credit song in this right. one. Mm-hmm. Released on May 7, 2013, directed once again by Justin Lin, a budget of $160 million, box office of $788 million, dollars, making it the most successful thus far, but that pretty much just keeps being true. A runtime of 2 hours and 10 minutes, the exact same runtime as Fast Five.
Yeah,
With the exception the of the extended version, which is 2 hours and 11
I watched
minutes
last time. By accident.
Very interesting. But yeah, so Justin Lin, yeah,
weird.
What?
Justin Lin wanted to name the movie Furious Six, and this is where they had the plans for this trilogy. Justin Lin and Vin Diesel is where they started working together on what this franchise could be. And based on Vin Diesel's love for Dungeons and Dragons, it led to them being like, we want to incorporate more of a mythology into the series. And that's why things start getting as like retconny and like, let's give backstory to everything and make everything connect as it did, which I think was a fantastic move. As always, avoid future spoilers for the movies, even though we're running out of movies to spoil at this point. We're almost at the end of our ride and journey here.
Well, luckily they're going to just keep making more of these bad boys. Now they're doing all the spinoffs and stuff like that, which is great. But man, I got to tell you, I love this fucking movie.
I fucking love
this movie. This movie, and you know, I realized that I had some somewhat harsh criticisms of Fast Five last week.
Well, you and I had a good heart to heart.
We had a good heart to heart. Yeah.
How many biggest problems did you have?
Well, the last count was 20. For those of you out there that had an issue with that, I apologize for bringing a little bit of negative energy into the room. But what I like about this is I think that it really did address a lot of the big issues that I had in Fast Five. Namely, is that we had a ton of characters and didn't give them a lot to do, and it wasn't as tight as I wanted it to be. This movie, for 2 hours and 10 minutes, to me felt so much shorter and clips along so much more, and gives the characters so much more to do. And when we have those moments where we need the comedy relief, it's there, and it's there in the form of like Tyrese and Tej and The Rock, and that going back and forth, those three guys is great. We don't need the extra. We just sort of forgot the other two characters that are in the intro, by the way.
Yeah, they wrote them off in a line, though.
Last time
we saw them, they were just doing some gambling in Monaco.
That's the last time we saw them.
And who knows? Maybe they'll come back in future iterations. But what I like about it is when you take out those two extra characters, then you really give like a little bit more of a spotlight to Tej or to Luda and to Tyrese. And I thought all the back and forth of that was, while cheesy and stupid, was perfect. Super fun and worked fun. And was just the right amount. Everything was just the right amount, with the exception of the 28-mile landing strip.
38 miles.
Whatever it needs to be. But yeah, but I really, really enjoyed this from the start to finish.
Yeah, actually, just jump into that. Vulture estimates that the runway in the film had to be 28.829 miles long in order to accommodate the whole scene. The longest real-life runway is 7.5 miles.
Yeah, but things are happening at the same time. You know what I mean? Like
having such a good time watching them punch and throw people. Yeah. What do you
it's
care?
Not all chronological. You know what I mean? Man. While they're doing this shit, these guys are doing that shit.
Yeah, you think they're just in there taking a breather?
No.
You know, we cut back to Paul and me in the car? No, come on.
Exactly.
Before you get to the plot, Greg,
yeah.
I just want to start off with the intro to this movie. That what fucking balls do they have to be like, you know what? We're treating this like a TV show now. It has a fucking theme song.
It's got a recap.
It has a recap of just scenes while it says people's names. And it ends with Furious 6 with a shot of all of them all wearing the white linen that Vin Diesel wears, walking towards the camera in slow-mo.
That's not in the movie.
For that.
It's not in any of the other movies. They just were like, hey, is everyone in Miami right now? Can we get you guys on the beach in your linens? Vin Diesel has your linen for
I just
you.
Wanted it
He's
to
got
be,
your linen
I
for
I wanted it to be like a 90s sitcom where they look at the camera and stuff. Like, that's what
like
it
ends
like.
With friends. They all open up umbrellas. You know, it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
I love that, though. I think it set the tone so perfectly
so
for what
bad.
We're about to get into.
That's one of the only things that I wish they hadn't done. But
are you kidding me?
I loved it. It took me by surprise. I think I blocked it out of my brain they did that. But it's because they show, like, knowing that those other two characters aren't going to be, I was like, why did they show those guys? Like, nobody cares about those guys.
They were showing
family.
Han there.
Family.
Or was that Han? No, but they show the guys at the casino. Like, I'm like, we don't need to see these guys.
Dude, I don't think they show them at the casino. They focused on the Han bit where he did the drifting thing around and the thing came down. Because they couldn't show Tokyo Drift because it didn't happen yet.
Right.
But they only focused on the characters that were in the lineup at the end.
That's fair.
I love it because it's just so hype. It's just like, I remember being in the theaters when that happened, and I looked over down the row, and all of us were just like, yeah, they just did that. Like, what the fuck? All right, Greg, it's time for the plot.
Plot, plot,
plot, everybody! Plot,
all right, so it starts with Brian and Vin racing through the fucking street. They're giving up, taking, it's like,
just where five ended.
Look at what's happened, everybody. They're racing. You know what I mean? It's a tale as old as time. These guys racing for pinks. You know what I mean? They all want that pinky pink. Yeah. But it turns out they already got the pink. They already got the pink. And that's why they're racing to the hospital.
Jesus Christ.
Where, guess what, everybody? Mia's about to pop. She's got one in them. She got that bun in the oven we saw at the end of Fast Five. And that thing is clawing its way out.
They put a bomb in her.
So they race over there and they get in there and they're someplace. They're still not in America, right? And you know, she has the baby and like the blonde woman, the cop,
Elena.
Why can I never remember that? Elena, she's there. And like, exactly. I know it should be easy for me to remember.
You don't remember because she's only in this movie for 5 minutes.
It's just the totally name. Right around. It doesn't matter. Mia has the baby. Congratulations, we got a fucking baby. Yay, Jack. Baby! It's a baby. It's Jack. Yay, baby Jack. And I'll tell you what, guys, 6 movies in, the old memory banks are just giving out these days. So this is just going to be a big old swash of shit that happens.
We might want to prepare the Wikipedia.
I know it all. It's just going to be everywhere. So I just can't keep it straight. So then, Han's car gets knocked over and he's like, Dominic Toretto. I know.
No, but I like this scene, though, because this is like
their family.
One of the reasons why I really like this movie is because we do bring back some of that heart that I spoke so passionately about before, which is that, you know, there are now stakes to this, right? He's got a kid. It is about like what is it going to be to be a dad? Can I leave this life? What happens if something comes in here? And like, you know, I do think that you feel more of the family vibe in this than I think in any of the other ones.
Well, he says family 19 times in this fucking movie.
Also, this is where Vin Diesel goes from being Dominic Toretto to being the fucking sage, like soothsayer, like the future teller, and where he's like, when you go in that room, everything changes. I'm like, you don't have a fucking kid. You don't know.
He was a kid once, right? He was a kid. Dad.
That is a good point.
He had a dad.
With the family thing, and why I like this movie so much for that is, this gave you the family elements of four that were like the more like kind of real character driven things.
Well, the more the conflict,
but
the character.
Now it's also there's actual real family things with the kid.
Yeah.
But also the family that comes to the barbecue of the whole team. We now have seen them in five working together. So now this is the second time getting them together. And this is the one, if five is the one that's the heist movie with the safes, this is the one that's where they meet their evil twins.
Which
and
is
I fucking love it.
There's not. That's one of the things you realize about halfway through this where you're like, I mean, they make a joke about it.
Yeah, they
obviously
call it out.
But not only do they call it out, but then you start looking, there's twins in the group. There's like people that look like Dom and The Rock look, they're like exactly the same person. It's ridiculous. And then there's another guy that's them as well.
Great.
There's so many redundancies, but it doesn't matter.
So while Mia's birthing this kid and everybody's having a great time just eating the placenta afterwards, we jump over to
Good
Moscow. We jump to
edition.
Exactly. You should have got the one extra minute.
They're like, family!
They're like the Manson family.
It's making a Rob Zombie movie for 1 minute.
It's the barbecue scene.
Oh my God, see, while we're talking about that scene, I know we'll get to it. Just go back and watch like the fucking, they're burned. They're just burning shit on the grill. Actually, be with the baby, where they're like fucking flames are shooting at it. Was the baby, I think, where they and there's just blackened food on it. And they're like, whatever, no one will see this. We go to Moscow, which is very clearly London, but they say Moscow, so we're in Moscow.
Yeah, I like
cool.
That.
I was watching it with Lucy, and Lucy's like, I lived by that bridge. That's not why they're saying it's Moscow. They walk there. There's been another fucking crazy takedown. All these cars did all this crazy stuff, and they took it down. And so the rock series, like, big sweat is Toretto. He looks great in this movie again. Fixed the beard.
Fixed
the goatee. Doesn't have the Pharaoh thing anymore.
Yeah.
But not only that, and this is something that I watched with my wife, and she pointed out. She was like, he's so much more fun in this. He's not as like in the other one. I think he was playing more of the character and they wrote him way more seriously. And in this one, they let him have more fun. And that's where Brock is fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm. I think there's still a lot of those moments, though.
They're a little bit more tongue in cheek in this. And I think he smiles more in this and he fucks with Tyrese more. And that's the best part. Yeah. All the forehead stuff fucking gets me.
I love this scene, though, with the foreshadowing of the bad guy where like their car is just in the middle of a fucking building.
Oh,
and they're like, how'd that get there?
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Like only one person could have put it there.
I'm going to tell you this, though. If there was ever a thought that UFC fighters make terrible actors, Gina Carano made that a real thing.
And they just keep giving her opportunities,
oh my God.
Man. Like, one after the other.
I felt so bad for her because everyone, at this point, everyone in this movie has, like, people, like, the whole cast has been in these movies multiple times now, so they gel. she sticks out like a poor sore thumb. And it's only forgivable because she has the best fucking fight scene in all of Fast and Furious. Yeah. So I'm like, you got to forgive her for that. But this was rough.
Yeah.
Her line deliveries were a bit rough.
The car in the building is like in the movies where you see like a giant dinosaur that's been eaten. You're like, oh, something ate that. I don't know what it is.
But
like,
I love this it. Is that. It like, sets the tone, yeah. man. It's like, this one is this where is they finally don't with. Give a fuck.
Yeah. So
like,
guess what? It wasn't Toretto's gang. It's all part of this Shaw guy's gang.
He had the lookalike, right? Sitting on the chair.
We're not there yet. Yeah. So good. And so, yeah, like, it's, well, fuck, we got to keep taking on Shaw. Well, we got one of the gang, one of the members. Let me go talk to him, says The Rock. And The Rock walks in there. It looks like Vin Diesel, but it's not Vin Diesel. It's clearly who must have been his fucking stunt guy.
Yeah,
dude, probably was. From behind. Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
yeah.
Vin Diesel.
And so The Rock comes in there and he wants to know about Deckard Shaw. And the guy's like, I'm not telling you shit. And so The Rock just beats him just without mercy.
Beats him. He throws him around like a pillow.
Yeah.
And just destroys through the room. Demolishes the room.
Yeah. And this fucking Moscow guard's like, isn't this against the law? And Gene is like, yeah. And then he's like,
Are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him?
And he's like, I won't. Really mean. I'm not going to do it. And so Rock fucks this guy's up and finally gets the information on where Deckard Shaw is or whatever the fuck it was. I don't remember. They're after components, right? They're trying to make some fucking satellite or so shit. It doesn't matter. They bounce out of there. Yay. We go back to wherever we are where there's no extradition, which will also be shoved down your fucking throat. And guess what? The baby's been birthed and it's clothed now.
Yeah. And it's got a name now.
Oh, actually, no. You know, I'm sorry. I'm actually, fuck that. That's the scene coming up. Everybody put a pin in that one. Instead, guess where we are? We're in Vin Diesel / Dominic Toretto's bed of sin. Oh, and he's got Elena pressed on.
Oh, my God.
Pressed on.
Like, how is that possible?
In beautiful linen shirts.
No. If I were Chris Hemsworth, I'd be like, no, never again. You're never pressing your boob up against fucking Vin Diesel's chest.
And then she would be like, I'm a strong, independent woman, and I'll do whatever the fuck I want. You would never talk to me. You would never talk to me that way, Chris Hemsworth.
And then I would just get jacked and be like, fuck you, my career is better, Vin.
That side boob was legendary, man.
It's insane.
She's stuff of legends.
It's a very hot scene.
Yeah.
Very hot scene. God. And Vin Diesel wanting to keep, is this a PG-13 movie now? I don't even know.
They say fuck a lot.
Do they say that it must be? Okay. Well, they don't want to show. They definitely don't want to show the nip. In America, we hate the nip. So Vin Diesel very carefully rolls out and like shoves her down without us seeing anything.
She rolls over and it's like a Dodge Charger sticker, like pasted.
Exactly. It's an off sticker. Yeah. He goes outside as Vin Diesel does as Dominic Toretto.
Yeah.
Dominic Toretto loves fresh air. Little known fact. And guess who's out there? It's the fucking Rock. And he's like, no extradition. So he's cool. Like, I'm not here to take you in, Toretto. You hear the gun cock and it's her. She's out there. And then they give us the paperwork. You're gonna be begging me to come with me. And I'm going to be outside. You figure this out. And he fucking opens it up and it's a photo of Letty. Yeah. Oh my God.
With that damn theme song.
What was the theme song?
There's that love theme song they play anytime he talks about Letty. Anytime in any of these movies. And it's just like, it kind of sounds like the Last of Us theme song. Like, just, it's like guitar fucking. Like, it's great.
And so then Elena.
By the way, let me just point out, Tim's really, really good at knowing theme songs.
Thank you.
I'm terrible at it. Like, I don't so fucking remember during all of MCU interview, like, what are you talking about?
Hey. Don't fucking sell yourself short. You come up with all the theme songs for the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You're good at making them up and remembering.
Yeah, you're great. Yeah, you're great.
I'm always shocked that you remember them.
Yeah. Original music, great.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Elena comes out and she's like, it's Letty, huh? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, even if there was a chance for my husband to be alive, I mean, because clearly all we are, we just like to fuck each other and think of the other person. And I'm like, I can be down with this really, you know, weird relationship where they lean on each other just in this thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, weird, sad fucking. They just cry, both of them at the same time. A huge cross.
Tom probably has big tears. I called him Tom.
Tom.
I thought it was weird. I was like, Tom Diesel.
I'll be working on your brakes today.
I'm picturing MySpace, Tom.
Vin Diesel / Dominic Toretto like walks out front. He's like, let's fucking do this. We got to do this, The Rock. I'm in. Let's go. And so then we jump over. We probably do something with Deckard Shaw. Who the fuck cares? Then we jump over to Brian with this clothed baby. You know what I mean?
I picture the baby being like, I need a 10-second car.
Yeah.
Why are you so hung up on him being clothed?
Because he wears bad clothes.
The baby?
Yeah.
Just
dressing like a baby.
Fuck you. You're being so judgy.
You got this stupid like bonnet shit. You know what I mean?
All babies have bonnets.
Is this some kind of weird Puritan baby from the 1750s?
Yeah, he was born in like a missionary.
In the back, taking wool off the sheep, fucking knitting curtains.
In your brain, do they have the blankets that like the
that you have to fuck through?
The swaddling?
Oh, with the hole cut out? Yeah, no. Trust me, it's in my imagination, they are nasty fucking.
Nasty fucking?
Brian gives his baby this blue car because that's the thing or whatever, and then Dominic shows up.
Don't forget he's the Toretto and the American Muslim.
And me is like, oh, Dom.
I'm here.
You just turned him into
not giving me anything to do in this movie.
You just turned him into the Viceroys scenes. From Phantom Menace.
He's a Toretto.
So Mia's like, you know what? This little fucking shit machine's got to take a nap. I'll put it away and let you boys have some beers as you always do. What do these guys have left to say to each other is my question. You know what I mean? They've been together for fucking ever. Anyways, she goes inside and Dom's like, well, you know what? I got to go do this thing and you can't come. And he gives him the paper. And Brian O'Connor's like, this is a cop thing. It's a cop thing. I was a cop once. This is a cop thing. I was a cop, cop, cop. It's not real, Dom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dom. We'll get to those Doms later. And then he's like, if there's just a chance though, I got to do it. And then I got to go alone. You got a family now. And he's like, no, fuck that. We're family. And Mia comes out. And she's like, yeah, family.
She knew all about it before even knowing anything about it.
Well, she was listening. She was listening the whole time. Yeah. I think she was just standing right outside of the room.
But like, she's known her level brother, no level of shock from life. Her. Like, she was not surprised. Like,
shared her man. If there's you have to understand,
let it go.
When you're Jordana Brewster, when you're this character, and your brother Dom, he's got there's nuances to his looks, right? Like, I'll do them for you. Ready? He does this, and then he does this.
Yeah.
And those be two eyebrow. Separate things.
Yeah, that's
two separate things.
He pulls off some smiles in this movie. I'm excited for those impressions from you. So yeah, okay, we gotta do it. We gotta do it. Cool. We need to get the squad back together, right? And that's what it's all about. So then everybody's doing their own shit all over the place. Roman Pierce has a whole bunch of ladies up in the sky.
I love how fast this happens.
Yeah, so exactly. So again, in driving home the family theme, right? They all call and everybody's like, "Yep, yeah, whatever you need, Dom." Right? And so that's what. Yeah, Han and Giselle. They're off doing their thing. We got Roman in the plane. Yeah, they're eating, of course. Oh, duh.
But I love their badass scene.
Yeah, that scene's dope.
Made no sense.
Oh, with the guns and stuff? Yeah.
Fuck it. Thank you for giving me that.
That was cool.
Her character in this is awesome. So they give her a lot of cool shit to do. I want the Han and Giselle adventures.
Why didn't they just call Giselle's phone? Why did they have to call the cops to come surround them?
I think it was also to show the power of The Rock in this, where he's got like he can get anyone to get anyone.
It was also they did a better job. I felt and when we were talking about Fast Five, when we need a weapon specialist, and we're like, what makes her the weapon specialist?
Like here seemed like a weapon specialist.
She's way more into the shooting and having guns.
The way she moves, the way she handles the gun, like all that stuff. I think it was really, really like a lot sharper in this for her. And like I also love that. They flesh out Han's character a little bit more in this too. Like we're gonna get to scenes later where he's a little more goofy, I like that. I like that. To me, Han in this is a little bit more of the Han that we got in Tokyo Drift, where he's a little bit more well rounded. I always felt like in 5 he's just kind of this mercurial character. In this one, we get a little bit more dimensions to him.
I think he has more to do in this one.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and then Tej is and the money changed you, man. Yeah, it did, man. I learned it doesn't grow on trees. It rains. And it's like, is that your money?
He hacked the machine.
Tell you what, too. Ludacris sounds like he's been speaking Spanish since birth.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Perfect. His Spanish is perfect in this.
I usually don't care about that type of stuff. When I heard it, I was like,
Totos and Stottos.
Shit,
I'm like, oh,
man.
My God. Is he reading off a fucking cue card? Like, what is he doing? Why wouldn't they just let him talk, like, speak back to the guys in English?
It just reminded me of when Nick says, Lomo Saltado.
Lomo Saltado. Bien.
I'm like, oh, my God. Stop, Luda. Stop. Dope car, though. Luda.
So everybody's got to go, and they all got to meet up, and they're all going to meet up in London. Hooray. That's where it's on. And so we go to London, and then we all meet up, and it's like we're all sitting there, we're gonna hear the plan,
we're in London, we're meeting
jump
up.
Ahead real quick.
Yeah,
the last since we've been doing the show, I keep saying it's London, baby, and I keep being like, oh, it's Austin Powers. It's not Austin Powers.
No,
it's Rita Ora in this fucking scene.
Could you, like, here's the thing. First off, I think we can all agree the pinnacle of our existence would be to actually go to one of these fucking street races once, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't you just want to go to this once?
No, they seem like they're awful to watch because the race starts and then everyone's just like, all right, cool, no, great.
Hey, I would agree with you
now.
If it not for the fact that, okay, just imagine you're sitting here watching your race. Engine's running, fucking great. Who walks up to start the race? Rita Ora. Then they go away.
The woman that does
I know that.
Go.
Who is she?
Singer.
Oh, okay, cool.
But could you imagine if you were at a street race, you'd be like, is that fucking Rita Ora over there? Should we go talk to Rita Ora over there?
What a weird pull.
Still popular?
Rita Ora? I don't think she was ever that popular.
She was ever that popular, but she was popular.
Wake me when it's Michelle Branch then, all right?
It was just a weird cameo where I was like,
Like, we were watching last night, and Dee was like, is that fucking Rita Ora?
Well, she
like,
did music for the movie, too.
Oh, okay, so, like, that makes more
they
sense.
They usually tie that in.
That makes sense, okay.
Anyway, back to London, baby.
We're all there, we're all met up, and it's time for The Rock to lay out the plan. Tyrese wants some food. This is very funny. Can I get it? Can I? This is how you stay a millionaire. Yeah.
The Rock walks in and he goes, why do I smell baby oil?
And The Rock, by the way, kudos to him. They toweled him off a lot more in this, but yeah. There are a couple scenes where his arms are glistening. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Way less than it was in the last.
I think he was a little bit like, and this is not a knock against The Rock, body wise, I think he was a little bit like more fit in this. Less buff, like, or less like swollen and lean. More like cut up and lean. Yeah, I think he looks better in this than he's done in any of the movies.
Oh, I thought he looked bigger in this one.
Especially I think he just looks around. More defined in this. Yeah. And I think his waist was a lot smaller.
Kevin, it's because you're watching in like ultra widescreen, so it kind of like
I was watching
in
ultra wide. Yeah. Yeah.
So they shoot the thing and get the food out. It's all a very funny scene. And then it's like, here's this thing, and Deckard Shaw's got a team, and we got to stop him. Well, you guys are the only ones who can stop him. And they're like, all right, that makes sense. And then we got a bunch of cars over here. Great, that's cool. And then we know exactly where he is. He's underground in this weird thing. All right, cool. Let's all go there. And they go there, and then they're just like, it seems like their headquarters or wherever they are is like in the parking garage, just overlooking
so
the thing where they're.
Interpol was going to raid them.
Correct.
And they had the information, but were not welcome to join the raid. So it looks like they had found a spot to spec everything out, make sure everything looked cool.
Interpol, of course, a terrible band, and just a bunch of clowns here, too. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And like, luckily, they have 7,000 cops that are all waiting as if they're watching, like, a fucking Matador
here's the thing.
Like event.
They don't have 7,000 cops. They use the cop of whatever cities that are there, because later, when they're driving in the streets, they're like, oh, all the cops are gone. So,
but I just feel like in this scene, wherever you looked, there was a crowd of millions of cops.
Also, you would think that like there's literally one entrance in and one entrance out of this place. Maybe put something as a barrier.
Yeah.
You know, well, this guy's got cars that are fast.
The knockoff Vin Diesel is getting the wire put on him right outside of where he's going in, where they are flashing the lights, making like, we're the cops, we're right outside.
Like, yeah,
why even Michael?
They're about as subtle as a fucking heart attack in this
one. They
had
to wait for the voice confirmation. For Shaw.
Which doesn't even make sense because it's like the Vin Diesel clone yells Shaw and they're like, it's confirmed. Yeah.
But he goes, but this was weird because I kind of like lost
that was the code
attention.
Word actually, Greg.
He yelled Shaw because Shaw pulls a gun out, right?
Yeah.
Shaw pulls a gun out. You're like, oh shit, he's going to shoot him. And they're like, oh, he's there. It's Shaw. Let's move in. And then it cuts back to a scene and they're just talking normally.
He put it away.
Did he put it away?
Yeah, Shaw.
Is that what it happened?
Yeah, he tucked it back in his thing, and it was that thing of like, oh, they wanted us to think he was going to kill him. No,
here's your
cut in advance on the next job. Which, the next job, of course.
My question, why would you give him a bag with a bomb in it with money in the bag?
I don't know. Well, because Shaw doesn't care about money.
Shaw doesn't give a shit. He just wants to see the world burn.
Yeah, he likes things that are cheap, like dynamite and gasoline. That's cheap.
Did we see that bag explode?
Yeah.
We saw the outside bags explode, like the ones holding up the pillars, but I don't know if we see it explode. I mean, I assume it does.
I think when he had the thing where he hit the button, everything. I think the bag exploded.
So Shaw gets into his mini Batmobile or whatever.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And
this is so fucking
dude,
cool.
Dude, such a cool car.
He goes fucking tearing out of there. Things are exploding. It's collapsing. It's real cool. It's all real cool. This movie has a Dark Knight vibe to it.
It does.
You know what I mean?
Because the car.
But just the way it's shot, and I feel like the stakes and the words.
Dark Knight was also shot a bunch like under a bunch of shit. You know, so like we had a bunch of those scenes.
Oh, sure, yeah, totally.
But I love the idea that also, like, The Rock's vehicle is his big, like, that's
fucking,
the Rock mobile.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Yeah,
dude. I like that he just plows through shit like it's a tank, but it's not.
But that's so great, and that's so indicative of his character, right? I do love that. Like, Dom is a little bit more strategic, but he's also a tank. But then, like, just the differences in how they drive and what they drive.
Well, Dom's a muscle car, you know?
Dom is a muscle car. Man. He's a fucking tank. But what I that's the other thing. We're going to get to the cars in this. I fucking love the cars in this movie. They finally were like, let's have cool cars.
Oh my God.
While Deckard Shaw's blowing shit up and killing 1,000 cops or whatever and driving on out of there, it comes over the radio. Luda's listening in, of course. They're hitting Interpol right now, and he's like, oh, fuck, it was a diversion. This is the whole thing. So, like, the Rock team, Team Rock, Team Dom, they jump into cars, and they shoot off over there. They're going to go chase them down. Brian's going to keep his eye on whoever. They're all fucking driving around the place. That's what's happening. And so, like, Shaw tears out of there. Some of them chase him. Everybody runs over to Interpol. People come running out of Interpol, and they start shooting the cars. And it's very awkward. And then they get out of the cars to shoot, too. I'm like, stay in the car and shoot. You know what I mean? Like,
they're not just getting shot at. There's a sniper on
with
the
like
top
a,
of the roof.
A gigantic fucking sniper rifle that seems like it would just kill everything on. But, like, no.
But
Paul Walker pulls up and shoots, and the sniper gets down.
I'm like,
but also, in a great fucking
shoot
scene.
Shoot like an elephant.
In a great scene. And this is, like, really, really kind of not foreshadowing. But
it's
there's
definitely
a moment,
foreshadowing.
I mean, it is. But there's a moment where Giselle is like has a beat on this fucking guy. And then Han comes out of nowhere, like realizing that she's just in it. She's like, I don't give a fuck what's gonna happen. I'm here to save people. Like, it's cool.
I feel like they did that too many times in this damn movie. There's like three or four scenes where Giselle is. There's a lot of cat hair on there. You can just leave it.
I just wanted the thickest one.
Nah, all right.
Did you brush your hair with Thomas today?
He just likes. He just likes rubbing against me right before I'm going to leave, and it's just like there's nothing.
Oh, he's wearing black. Let me go rub against
him. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not just black. It's red, too.
This is a dope action scene. I love the little EMP blast that they put in the cars.
Cool. Yeah, so we're racing away. We're getting chased. The EMP blast, the things are getting shot onto the cars, and it's like, what is that fucking shit? And turns out, oh, they're chips that can take over your cars. Oh, no.
Tyrese, he
gets fucked up.
That's the thing. The summary of this scene, of course, is that, guess what? Dominic Toretto's gang is getting out Dominic Toretto'd.
Yeah.
They're getting fucking clowned
out.
It's
cool.
It's Mighty Ducks 2. You thought you were the best hockey team. We're here to be the best hockey team.
It's Captain America.
So they're fucking everything up. Paul Walker, Brian O'Connor has such vision on this thing on his bumper. He's able to just like knock it off.
It's so fucking cool. It's cool. Such a great scene.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I like that.
And so yeah, they're racing through the streets and they're pancaking cars and Tyrese is getting fucked up and Luda's getting fucked up. And this is rough. You know this is rough on Tej. Because Tej, of course, didn't drive for the longest time because of his accident.
Yeah.
Now Dominic Toretto's forced him back behind the wheel. And what happens? Fucking pancaked here by Team Moscow or whatever. It's all shit's breaking loose and everything's going on. And they're going on the thing. And they drive down in the tunnels and they're fucking doing. And cars are flipping over. And people are moving out of the way at the last second. And they're going off the fucking ramp cars and all the shit's happening.
Dude, the ramp cars are so cool.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they just get their fucking lunch served. I'm sure there's probably some showdown at the end. I don't remember.
Yeah, so Dom is the one that actually goes and stays at the thing, and then he chases at like the start where it all started.
Okay.
He's the one that stayed there because he knew Letty was going to be somewhere, and then
he sees Letty's car,
and he's like, and he goes,
Letty's
car. Letty.
Yeah, right, and he shoots out. He stops chasing Shaw and goes after Letty, and Letty of course stops her car. He stops his car, and then they just both get out, and Letty just shoots him,
which is pretty fucking awesome.
Scene,
I love how quick they were, and they're like, that really does set the tone for like where we're at with characters.
Yeah. Also, I want to say shout out to Letty's car. I had to look it up, and I unfortunately forgot what it was. I think it was a Jensen or a Jenner. But it's a fucking really cool looking car. And
can
it's
you
like,
fix it, Kev?
You want to get over there?
Go look into that, Kev.
Give it a second. Let it all click back. No. It's back.
If you're an audio listener,
keep on clicking.
Something happened to the
screen. There's some flashing and stuff.
Looks but like I also love that she shoots him in the shoulder, right? Yeah. And of course, Dominic Toretto's skin cannot be punctured. It's made of Kevlar. I think he, at one point, the next scene, just pulls it out himself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what kind of lame dick bullet is she using for this? That's a huge important plot point, apparently.
Exactly.
She has this dumb gun that she likes so much that only one person on the planet can make a bullet for it.
Whatever. And so that's the thing. Back at HQ, everybody's mending to their wounds. Dominic Toretto taking care of himself, yanking his own bullets out. People are just like, I can't believe this just fucking happened. Is this where Tyrese is like, we're fighting our evil twins or whatever?
Yeah, very funny.
And they pull him up on TVs.
Yeah. And he goes through every one by one.
He's like, this is you?
Yeah.
That's you?
It's like, damn, bro. I don't know if this was... Oh, this was the cool scene, and I wanted to mention that where I think at one point, and maybe it's not this, maybe it's the next one, but at one point, Brian thinks he's got a beat on the one car. And then switches over and Vi comes and like knocks him over and flips him over. And then she comes back and winks at him.
Oh, well, he does the slow motion. So shit.
He goes, it's so cool because this is the first time we've ever seen these guys really severely fucking
lose. Yeah.
And then she just pulls right up like a fucking G and like
just
winks at him and bounces off.
I just got goosebumps.
So that was really good. But now, even though they're down a notch, they have enough information to start putting it together, right? These cars are crazy custom with magnetic suspensions and all sorts of
turbo
ping pong balls and shit in them. I don't know. And they're like,
is this the scene where they go around and start talking and The Rock realizes, or like,
no, The Rock,
Gina Carrera, whatever, Carano. Realizes like, oh, they know.
They really know what they're doing.
Yeah, they start debating about cars and shit.
He looks at her and he's like, check this shit out. It reminds you of My Cousin Vinny when Marissa Tomei is about to go off about the car. And what's his face?
Joe Pesci?
Joe Pesci kind of looks at it like, check this out.
It's a trick question. He's like, oh, you can't answer it. No, it's a trick question. It's a bullshit question.
So
it's a bullshit question.
God, I love her.
Aunt May. And so then, that they saw, okay, we're going to look into the guy who has these kind of
cars. There's only one guy that could do that. And then
meanwhile, Can I fucking do it?
I didn't know. Sometimes you need the assist.
Don't touch me.
We have a nonverbal communication body language.
This is the countdown clock to me kicking your ass.
It happened in 45 minutes.
It's counting up.
Okay. Can you just move that? Sorry.
And so meanwhile, there's a bullet here, and it's from this kind of gun, and only one dude would sell that kind of gun here too. So we're gonna go find that. Dominic and Brian are gonna go do that. Han, Giselle, Crush. And Tyrese are going to go over.
Crush.
She was in a movie called Crush, right? Wasn't she?
I don't know.
She was in Deadpool. Think so.
Well, from now on, she's called Crush, everybody. Suck my dick. they're going to go over there and do that thing over there. Whatever. No, they're going to go look at the car people. And so it's like, cool. Break everybody team. Meanwhile, Decker Shaw is like, I need to know everything about these people, do all this fucking stuff. Well, I'm probably combining a little bit of stuff here. And then these stuff, and they get their FBI Interpol files or whatever.
Right.
And they open them up and they're like, oh, fucking, hey, you're on his lap, Letty. You remember this? You remember this? He's like, I don't remember it. And then fucking Hulk walks in and he's like, are you sure you don't remember? And it's like, get out of my fucking face. He says, she says something more aggressive than that.
How big is that guy?
He says, I'll turn you into like the pussy or something.
It's such it was weird. You're right? I thought you were the muscle. You want to turn you the pussy? Like, what the fuck?
What does that even mean?
I think she's going to fuck him.
It was the dumbest. God, it was the dumbest line in the whole really movie.
I have no fucking idea. I thought he was a WWE guy. Is he not?
He looked a lot. He looked similar like CG. Brock Lesnar.
At first, I thought this scene was a little dumb. Yeah. I was like, why would you keep this person in your group if you knew that there was even a remote possibility? But I think they explained
it enough.
Well, I mean, you get the fact that Shaw is this guy that like has a plan five steps beyond, and you kind of get that he's keeping Letty in the pocket just in case he might need. To have her as leverage later, which I like. But I like his line in this, right? And this is one of the things that I respect about this movie is that Shaw is not just this dumb shit-like character of like, we're going crazy, we're going to have to kill everyone. He's like, we got to respect these guys. He's like, the second you stop respecting your enemies, the second you start losing. I'm paraphrasing the line. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was
cool. He's like, we got to study these motherfuckers.
They're just common criminals.
Yeah, they're not common criminals. He's like, these guys are precision, and precision's his thing.
They were
like,
one move away from beating us.
Yeah, beating us. So fucking respect that. Really and I was like, oh, all right, Shaw, what's up? Also, Luke Evans, I Stand By, would make a phenomenal Batman. Just saying that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, great Gaston.
He is a good Gaston. Great Gaston, yeah.
So now we break off into our different teams. Let's go for just shits and giggles. We'll go with Brian and Dom here. They go to the pawn shop there, and like big guys show up, and they don't want to fucking talk to Dom at all. And so Dom grabs the dude, and then Brian fucks up the other dude, and everybody's fucking everybody's up, and they're headbutting each other. And, like, ah, and then he just got the guy. He's like, where's the gun? And this, and she's a street racer. Ah, okay.
A lot of headbutting in this movie.
Dark haired woman.
A lot of headbutting.
Attitude.
Some really, really cool headbutting towards the end.
We'll get to that later.
A lot of headbutting, a lot of jumping from things. We missed one jump scene in this movie, the first one, where during the big chase scene where they got beat. The Rock is a level above.
Oh my God, The Rock
jumps out of his car to land on the wheel. Fucking car.
The Rock is a fucking superhero in this one.
Even when he was beating up British
Vin Diesel, like at one point my wife was like, can he really do that? Can he really lift a guy like that into the air? And I was like, what are you talking about? Because it didn't occur to me. Yeah. I rewound it. I was like, no, honey, he can't. Because he just grabs him by the belt and like throws him up.
I don't know, man. I look at him and I think he might be able to do it.
I don't
With
think
the
that
amount
he...
of wrestling we watch. Like last night I watched Elimination Chamber. Motherfucker's getting thrown by these big guys.
I think there are
definitely wires in this. Like there's one point he grabs throws him into the air, and the guy flies like 6 feet into the fucking ceiling.
Just to be clear, there are wires, but I think he might be able to do some of these things.
I think he could do one take of these.
Definitely one
take, but yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. So they get the information they need. She's a street racer. Oh, cool. That was a good information. And they all leave.
That was good. Thank you.
They flip this sign of closed. Thanks, guys. Good job, Paul.
A lot of people do that in movies, and it's always cool. It's always cooler when they do it before they beat people up, not after.
Well, because that's the first warning. Usually it's like, get the fuck out of my place, and they walk over, flip it, turn around, it's like you're about to get fucked. But I like this because I thought it was like very much like, all right, you guys are going to need to be closed out for a little while. Thank you, Cool Greg.
Yeah, this scene, I like this scene because it gives Dom and Brian a scene to have and breaks them away from the group. This is the scene where everyone's kind of breaking up and going to investigate stuff.
Stop eating on podcasts.
Stop eating. But this is a pointless scene. Yeah. All we learned from this is that Letty is a street racer. And we already knew that Letty was a street racer.
But we didn't know she was still street racing, right?
That's fair.
Her brains are scrambled. We don't know what she's going to be.
Eggs. But if I was Dom in the world that they've built and I was looking for Letty, I'd probably go to the street race.
Sure, fair. Meanwhile, we all go to investigate Magnet Suspension Man. And we get over there and he's got a fucking grappling gun. He's just shooting out and trying
in
the fucking yard.
He's having so much fun.
Good for him. They all watch him very quietly. And then it's this Tyrese and Han are going to go down there. And like, no, you don't send him. don't send a man to do a woman's job. He's a man. And they walk off. And then Han has this great scene where she's like, yeah, she always says that.
Yeah.
And then Tyree's like, you're in love with her. And this is a great little scene. About, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So good.
But Crush and Wonder Woman, they get down there and they're like, hey, like, dude, tell us this thing. He's like, why would I tell you? Because we're asking nicely or we don't. And then they fart and start twisting him and all the stuff. Huh?
No, they fucking start.
Oh,
he said fucking start,
they
together. And
start. They might have farted. I mean, that much physical exertion. You know, I don't want to know what's happening. You know what I mean?
Twisted him in the most painful of ways.
Yeah.
Well, at one point, what, she has her knee, or what, is she stepping on his face?
She has her knee at his face. Sort of a, like, yeah.
She was doing a half, like a half head mount, is what it's called.
Yeah.
Where you're basically sitting on someone's face in the opposite direction. Like, and she had him in like this fucked up. She had him in a Kimura, but also a wrist lock. It was just brutal.
But it wasn't like smooth pavement, right? Wasn't it rocks?
That hurts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That looked fucking awful.
Yeah, she was. That was painful.
Yeah.
And so fine. He's like, all right, fine. I'll tell you what you want to know or whatever. And so. So they start walking there, and then we probably went back to the other scene. We come back to this scene. They walk inside, and meanwhile, they're just not paying attention. He pulls out his phone. He calls Shaw. He slips in his pocket. He's like, so why you guys want to know? And meanwhile, back at Shaw's base, the guy's phone rings, and then he knows not to say anything. He picks it up like, and he walks over and gives it to Shaw, and Shaw hears all the shit that they're looking for him or whatever. And so Shaw's like, scramble the troops, go out there and fucking kill these guys.
Good little team he had built. That guy like handled the situation really well.
Yeah, exactly. They're professionals.
And then they fuck him over.
Precision.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
He messed up.
He didn't.
Some
he
more stuff happens. They're probably more at the pawn shop shit. And then the guys roll up, and Tyrese and Han are like, what the fuck? Oh, shit, no. And so they run down there. And then in one of the weirdest scenes, the guy at the computer is like, sorry, ladies, because he knows what's about to happen. And what he does is stand up exactly where the women are, and he's the only one who gets blown away by all the shots that come in. Rather than go, sorry, ladies, and drop below his desk and have them go like, what the fuck, and then get shot. He stands up, and they're like, that must be the guy. Everybody shoots him. They don't get shot at all. But they drop, and they got their guns out, and it's ping pong, ping, ping, pong, pong, ping, ding, ding.
Well, no, there's one important thing here where she goes, hey, they fucked you over. They killed you. I'll make sure Shaw's pays for this. Give me, like, tell me where the thing is or whatever.
Braga.
And he goes, Braga.
Which
and I'm like,
good.
What?
So, yeah.
I'm like, what?
Really?
How is this related? Why? Because at first I was like, because I didn't remember Braga being in this movie. I was like, oh, he must have said something else. I just misheard him. No, he said Braga.
He said Braga. And dude, that's a key thing. When I watched this movie, again, like, one of the biggest Fast and Furious fans in the fucking world.
Yeah.
When I saw Six in theaters and that happened, I was like,
what?
Wait, who's Braga again?
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen four in 6 years at that point or whatever it was. It was weird. And then you see him and you're like, oh yeah, he was a bad guy. But like, I was like, was he the bad guy in two? Four? I don't fucking remember.
But
watching him now this close together, it's like, okay, it's like, a nice little story.
I get it. And I get it because it kind of
worked.
Explained
it. It was good.
But what this scene, so there's that. And then there's also the one of like, I'll say like top three moments of this entire fucking movie comes where the guys, like, first off, Letty breaks off and Gina Carano runs after her. We're going to get to that. You'll get to that in a second, Big Poppy. But then there's the shot where the dude's on the motorcycle and Gal Gadot just gets a beat on him and falls him for a second, bam.
And he's
done. One shot fucking
so
kill.
So cool. So
dope.
Weapon specialist.
Weapon specialist.
And then I love this scene where there's the two separate
the dual fight
going.
Scenes.
The dual fights.
What a great.
And it's what you said, right? Where you're talking about the best fight scene of all, Michelle Rodriguez versus Crush.
Versus
and then Han and Tyrese just getting outclassed over and over by this one guy.
And Justin Lin was saying that, like, he wanted to subvert expectations. Like, everyone thought Han was going to know Kung Fu.
Of course. He didn't. No. And this is fucking great. This is so good. The juxtaposition of, like, this amazing woman, like, women-on-women fight scene where they're just fucking, and culminating with the coolest stunt I've ever seen in a movie where you know someone got fucking paralyzed with this.
Oh, the stairs.
Where she just runs and they just take her down over the fucking railing.
Yeah.
Down a flight of stairs. I'm like, are you, like, amazing.
What I think is really impressive about that fight scene is Michelle Rodriguez looked equal to Gina Carano, which is nuts because one's a fighter and one's Michelle Rodriguez.
And honestly, to be fair, she had a dead right in an arm bar. Let it go.
Hey, man, Michelle Rodriguez had a pass before this that y'all didn't know about.
Apparently, it was like an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
But yeah, that scene where the guy's just housing people and they just stop and he's like,
you go. No, you go.
He's like, it reminds me a lot of Lethal Weapon 4, the end of Lethal Weapon 4, where he's like, they just, like, Danny Glover and Mel Gibson are looking at Jet Li, and they're like, we just don't want to fucking go back. They just get the shit kicked out of them. Like, we don't want to go back in there. But, yeah, it ends with that great line where he's like, nobody has to know about this. It's like, agreed.
Both those fight scenes were so well choreographed.
They were great.
And so much fun to watch.
Yeah, really, I don't know. I don't know who that guy is. Who the
He was in the Raid?
Was he?
Or wait, the Raid, yeah.
He's a bad motherfucker. That scene was great.
That scene was so good.
Before we get on with the plot, ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kind of Funny in Review is brought to you by Eero. Eero is the Wi-Fi we always wish we had in our own homes. A fast, reliable connection in every room, including the backyard. Total network protection. Eero Plus offers the ability to block malicious and unwanted content across your entire network. There's advanced security by checking the sites you visit against a database of millions of known threats. Eero Plus prevents you from accidentally visiting malicious sites without slowing anything down. There's third-party security apps, VPN protection from Encrypt.me, password management from 1Password, antivirus software from Malwarebytes, which has been the antivirus and malware service that I've been using for over a decade now. I set it up for Gia's mom, and it was super simple, easy to do. The app gives you step-by-step installation and optimization directions, and next thing you know, they were getting Wi-Fi coverage all over their house. They always had problems in Gia's sister's room and their in-law unit, but now that's all changed. You never need to think about Wi-Fi again. To get $100 off the Eero base unit and 2 beacons, 1 year of Eero Plus, visit Eero.com/kindoffunny, and at checkout, enter kind of funny. That's Eero.com/kindoffunny at checkout. Enter kind of funny. And next up, shout out to Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. The thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. That's why you should be like Nick and Andy.
Hell yeah.
And go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. They did it. They went online, talked to a doctor, sent in some photos, and got matched with a prescription to help fight their thinning hair. You can order now. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today. Right now, while supplies last, you can see the website for details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. You should go to 4hims.com/morningshow. That's FORHIMS.com/morningshow. Back to the plot.
So everybody falls back to their bases of operations, right? We go back to the rock camp. Everybody comes in haggard and beat up or whatever. Like, oh my God, what happened? Braga. Oh God, it's Braga. We got to figure out how to get to Braga. And for real, when they said, like you're saying, when they said Braga, Braga, I was like,
Braga.
Oh man, okay. And then when we got back there, I was, and Brian starts explaining who Braga is, I was like, is he dead? Is he alive?
Yeah, I thought
everybody, didn't
he
grab his leg? I'm like, oh, is the other guy? Oh, they actually took Braga to jail. Okay, cool, whatever. So Brian's got to go back. You can't go back. You'll be arrested on site. I'm like, aren't we working with the government? I feel like The Rock can make a call to be like, hey, this guy's an informant or whatever, and he's coming, whatever. We're going to have to do a different way.
This was the one of the only weird parts of this movie for me, because I was like, first off, it's weird. I don't like when they're like, you're going to get on a plane and go over to this thing. Like, all that time has to pass to be able to do this. And then you just back the next
remember,
day.
They had 4 days, too.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. But also, I just thought the inclusion of Braga was one thread too far. That should have been probably a scene between Dom or Dom and Brian and Shaw. Like, Shaw should have told them all that information, or Letty should have remembered something at some point. It's such a weird non sequitur to kind of like tear off into that path for one scene, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Although we do get the great back and forth between him and the guy that's now because they're kind of like friends almost.
Silver Linings Playbook guy.
Yeah. I like the guy. The guy from Boardwalk Empire. That's my thought.
Yeah. No, that was a great throwback to have him. And we came off, this is what you're talking about weaving a universe or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like him coming off the plane and being like, I was like, oh man, it's that guy again. Cool. And then when he gets the exact same injury in the prison.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really cool. Funny. I think I would have probably missed if we weren't watching them all back to back and seeing
I did.
This.
Yeah. I remember watching in theaters, seeing that scene and being like, oh yeah, I do remember this guy, but like, I don't know his fucking connections.
Yeah.
But hey.
Because we also got another, I think, cool fight scene in the prison.
Yeah, that moment.
Where he was like, "If this door weren't here," and then the
Braga
door
just
opens,
looks and opens the door. Like, yeah,
like, and he has oh shit, he has that
and
moment.
And fucking Brian O'Connor does it, man. He dimes all these guys out, and then he stabs Braga a couple
BJJ?
Times.
BJJ,
nice.
He actually was using a lot more Muay Thai in that because what I like about his choreography is he's throwing fucking elbows left and right, which is cool. And it's cool because it's very functional. It doesn't look that great on camera, but they make it work a lot.
Yeah. And stabs Braga in the leg.
Yeah. Gets the information he needs.
This is the way. The only way you get close to Shaw is if Shaw wants it. You know what I mean? Like,
Shaw engineers everything, says Braga.
The weird thing about this to me is that in the hierarchy of criminal
bad
activity, bad guys,
rad guys, and
I
bad
would
guys.
Think that Braga would be way higher in the pecking order than Shaw.
but he makes Shaw sound
like his boss.
Shaw's like the boss of everyone, which is weird because Shaw's like a good 10 years younger than Braga. And so you're like, he's like, this guy's been running things for 10. Like when? When he started? Was he 15? Like how long? How old is Luke Evans?
I think it's different ambitions. I feel like Braga was very much like a localized, we're trying to get the drugs in Mexico. I'm going to own this area. Whereas it sounds like
Shaw came in and said,
Shaw's
no more local.
International and Shaw pulls different like higher level
government
crimes.
Level shit. Like he's trying to block the government.
It's just weird that like
blocking the government.
It's just weird to me that Braga kind of comes off as this like veteran like. And also remember like Braga was running like a crazy game of like espionage. Mm-hmm. No one knew who he was and all this stuff. And it's just good weird point. That he's all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Just but some Sean and Shaw's game. I'm like, I don't
Shaw
like how you're doing Braga.
Shaw taught him that though. I feel like,
but again,
they're setting that up
I
to
think
be that.
You would think that, but then like Braga looks like the older, elder like tutor.
I read
and Shaw's like 20 years younger than he is.
I read
so, like,
a thing
Braga's
online.
Also in Silver's Lining Playbook.
Is he really?
Yeah,
he's a good actor.
I read an online theory that Shaw is more of like a title, like Ra's al Ghul. Okay. So like it might be one of those.
That seems
to
make sense.
One thing I liked about this, and I know it's fan servicey, but I liked it like. They were, like, connecting everything and, like, trying to, hey, man, I knew that Letty was undercover as soon as you put her in because Shaw told me. And it's
I mean, the only other thing that I'm saying, and I know this is a bit of a leap, and this is where I'm choosing to believe this, is that it's possible that he's not referring to this Shaw.
Ooh.
It's possible that the elder Shaw is the one that's like the really dangerous one, and this one, you know what I mean? Because like Shaw in general is a family.
True.
Yeah,
that's good. That's interesting.
And it was cool. That's the only thing that I'm like, because Statham, that makes sense.
Well, it could be his mom, right? Too.
We're not talking about the future.
Well, you
just
are
did.
Right
I
now.
Mean, you just did.
Well, family is two brothers. You guys are the ones that are spoiling everything.
We don't know that.
Well, you also don't know that. Said Statham.
I see him in this movie. We don't know the connection.
Okay. Yet, but. So we also talked about the 84-mile landing strip at the end of this. And just the word landing strip gets me hot.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's a good word. It's a good word.
Yeah, so that's all. We just did it all. We nipped that entire thread. Great. Meanwhile, on the other side.
In and out.
Exactly. On the other side, we're going to go to the street race now. We go to the street race, and here are some asses again, because this is Fast and Furious.
This movie franchise just keeps getting better and better at showing the same scene with the hot music playing. They had that car.
It's the same dolly,
just
too.
Fucking, like, on its side going. It's like, why? Which is the people hanging out of it, like Ghost
Rider? I like the way this is ending. A weird music video out of nowhere that happens.
I love it, though. I love that it's fading in and out. I love that it's cut to the song. It's completely ridiculous, and we get Rita Ora.
Fantastic.
Given a great
London,
monologue.
Baby.
London, you think you don't do it? Well, we do it better in London. I'm like, what are you fucking saying, Rita Ora? Yeah. Just wave your arms. Let's start the stupid race.
Love it.
So she waves the arms and starts the stupid race, and Dom races Michelle Rodriguez, Letty, and they go, and it's Nas. We got some Nas.
Great scene, great character development, great action, great Nas. This movie doesn't have a bad action scene.
No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. What was the point of her being at the street race, though?
She likes to race.
Do you think that Shaw would have been like, hey, we're doing something here. Maybe for your night off, go to a fucking dinner. Don't go to a street race that you might get arrested
Shaw
at.
Shaw can't control these kids.
Yeah, it's the same reason why when Harry Osborn lost his memory, he was like, I just want to fucking fly
play basketball.
Yeah.
Play some basketball.
Shoot some hoops, man. worth pointing out, we missed the scene from when they came back and at Shaw's HQ and the guy was dead and Shaw didn't give a shit. And Michelle Rodriguez was like, what the fuck? And he's like, is this a piece that didn't work? But then he was like, I've groomed you in the back. And he was talking about grooming her a lot and how, you know, all this stuff. Anyways, you already have the dichotomy here of like one side's all family, ride or die. The other side is like whatever. He even said, and then you know, Vin says ride or die in the car.
Like, but he also says like I like you, right? Like he
likes her.
He's like really attracted to Michelle Rodriguez.
But the way you're attracted to your cat.
Well, no, I don't know. I thought he made it seem like I care about you more than the other people.
I was making a cat joke. It's okay. He's like, you know what I mean?
I will say
he does say that, yeah. But I think it's because he's groomed her from the hospital bed to this awesome driver.
Yeah.
When Dom pulls up next to her though. And I have had some harsh criticisms of the chemistry between the lack thereof of chemistry between Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez in this. But when he pulls up and she sees him and she's like, what is it with this guy? This guy's crazy. There was a palpable heat between these two.
These are the worst Michelle Rodriguez impressions you're going to hear on the internet today.
Your Dom's really good, but everything else, I don't know.
Dom!
Yeah, nailed it.
It's just Marge
Simpson.
So
they race, and they run, and they race, and they drive, and Dom wins on this fucking who designed, how do they say this is going to be the course? Nobody really knows. But they knew because they're street racers.
Yeah.
They win, they pull up, they talk, and then it's like, you beat me, and you still do the thing with the stuff, and you spin out at the end. She's like, meh. And then you're like, fucking talk, and then they start talking about her scars because she doesn't know where her scars come from.
Great scene.
Yeah.
Great Again, scene. Most chemistry Great they ever scene. Had.
I want to watch these two fuck.
Damn, that escalated
wow.
so and man, that's the point
he
of the scene. I'm like,
so
let's go. Let's get it. I want you guys to like scar to scar. Let's see if it unlocks the gate, you know?
I know what he means. I do know
like
what he means.
Like an Uncharted puzzle.
So anyways, that all happens, and, you know, I'll always be chasing you kind of shit. Then you know, she's... I don't understand. I get... Okay, her memory's been wiped. She's working with a bad guy. The bad guy wanted to kill. When I get the photo of me in the dude's lap, when the dude can explain everything about my body, is probably when I would be like, you know what? I'm going to roll with you.
Yeah.
Because you know a bit more about this
That's
stuff.
That's true. But there's another side of this. She's on the bad side, dealing with people that are totally fucking around with things. And there's a lot of like who's who and espionage and shit where it's like
espionage.
That can be faked so easily.
Yeah.
You know?
That can be faked so easily.
Yeah.
Photoshop.
Huh. Okay.
But also, she just doesn't know and this is what I like. She doesn't know she likes him. This is like, she's starting to fall in love with him in this, and it's nice. And he has a line where, like, I don't know if it's here or before, but he's like, you don't give up on family even if they don't know you. Like, you don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Even if they give up on you.
Even if they give up on you. It's nice, you know?
Mm-hmm. So she takes off, and Deckard Shaw rolls on up in his car, and he's like, oh, I'm all British and shit. And they have a scene here where it's a very British, and he's like, basically just walk away. And Dom's like, I'll tell you what, I'll walk away if you give me Letty right now. And he's like, no fucking deal. Boom, like laser on Dom's chest. Yeah. And he's like, well, guess what? No, I didn't even, boom, laser on you. And it's like, whoa.
That's so cool.
And it's like, stalemate, stalemate, governor. And Deckard Shaw gets in his car and drives away. And then The Rock walks over and he's like, I put a tracker on you and you're lucky I fucking did that. And he's like, oh, this music. And like,
Did you know what's in your car, man?
Yeah, exactly. Every real racer knows their car.
No, but I like that because it's obviously like indicative. Like I do trust you. I knew the tracker was there. We're a team.
I needed you, bro.
Also, I want to point out that every time we go back to the Rock, like where Vin's gang is, Luda has added more monitors.
Yeah.
It's just important. It's important to know. There's monitors everywhere the next time we come back.
We also skipped over a fun scene where Luda and Rock went to get the cars from the auction thing.
Oh,
and the auction guy was
scene.
A very bad British guy and just was very
Super
much
racist.
Like, you can't afford this.
Just a prick.
Yeah.
Racist prick. But then I didn't quite understand the scene where he took his shirt off and pants off.
It's humiliating.
They
want
to
keep
you spending
all
much money. They'll do anything to keep you spending, like keeping you happy.
I
so
that that's his job as concierge.
That was what I got from it, but I just thought that was
next time you're at a fancy restaurant and the sommelier comes by and gives you a bottle, be like, now take off your underwear and give them to me. And he's like, well, fuck, you just bought a $90.
I just love the
wine.
Rock's wink, you know? It's like,
there's a couple facts of the Furious and around this time they get the cars. I already did it. Don't you already
did it? Thanks,
No, you went like this.
Thanks, the Furious. it slowly ramps. It's been ramping the entire show.
Han says that he likes the color of Dom's Camaro because it's the same color of the RX-7 that he later gets in Tokyo Drift. And Hobbs is referred to as three different Avengers in this movie.
Man,
the Hulk,
when he calls
Captain America and
Samoan Thor.
That got a huge laugh in
that was
house
amazing.
Last night. Yeah.
I will say this, though. Like, if I'm not mistaken, there was, $100 million take for the last job, right? They split 10 ways, something like that. So everyone walked away with roughly $10 million.
Eight ways.
Everyone walked around with $15 million then?
I
guess
it was nine ways. Actually.
No, they all had at least like $11
million. So you figure $11 million. He was like, I got this. And he's going to buy the cars. Each one of those cars easily worth like, you figure $500,000 maybe. On average of the cars, like some of those are really expensive. That Daytona, right?
Sure, but you think Luda's just been sitting there letting his interest?
Dude.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay.
It seems like maybe
you would ask the government guy to buy these cars, unless you were going to spend like a 3/4 of what your net worth is just to buy people cars.
I mean, he's going
to
expense it later.
In a day, are going to get destroyed by a fucking tank.
They got a tank.
So tough. That was a great.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, right? Now it's all done this way.
So now they get back where they bring Letty to the group, right?
Yeah, how did Letty leave? I forget. I don't remember.
In the scene of the
lasers?
Laser points, right?
No, she left before lasers happened.
No, she's still with them because she's with them on the tank. She
helps
them still
that's
the tank.
That's where they go.
So now we've somehow figured out and surmised what the MacGuffin is, right?
Exactly.
The MacGuffin is they're trying to build this thing
it's a really fucking dumb scene when they figure out where to go because they somehow figure out I think that the girl cop that's with Hobbs is like, this is their parking, like this is where they're hanging out.
They're gone. There's nothing here. And Rock's like, there's always something here. Gun is this fucking tan shit on the ground. And then guess what? Oh, thank God. It's from only one of the four military installations in the entire fucking world. And there's only one in this hemisphere. Now, and it's NATO. Let's go.
Man, I don't remember
the
that
idea,
at all.
The idea behind this.
That's a great pull, Kev. That's a great pull.
The idea behind the MacGuffin, the thing that they're after, is that they're trying to build some sort of super thing that can take down an entire government for 24 hours.
It's a dark bomb. A dark bomb.
A dark bomb.
Bomb. Bomb. Right?
Which I don't quite understand how it's supposed to work or where all the components are. But
Saddles,
I figure
man.
If I were The Rock and I knew what they were trying to build, don't you think you'd know where those components were in the world? So why wouldn't you just know it's on a military base ahead of time? You know what I mean? Would you just be like, oh, they're probably after the final part of this thing, which is being housed. Luda. Fucking 800 monitors around him all the time, all just have red display for no reason. It's at the base. Anyway, they figured out it's at the base.
And so, yeah, all right, let's go to the base. And they go to the base, and Rock's like, I want this tighter than fucking asshole. And we're all walking around and shore up the walls and do this and like batten the hatches. And he's like yelling stuff, and all the guys are
just
like,
you think it would be a secure base?
We're just taking charge from you, man. And then while this is happening, it turns out, oh man, one of Shaw's dudes showed up and we caught him fucking with the wall system. And he's like, his base is already compromised. We can't store the thing here. Give me the thing. We're going to get it out of here. And they go to do that. And
seems
then
like a
back
plan.
In the old dump. Yeah, then we go back to Toretto's gang and they're like, oh, they figured out. Oh, they were waiting for it to move. They won't hit the thing. They're going to hit him on the road. Ah. And so we go back to the road. And now the thing's moving and we don't know what it is, but it's moving and it's in a giant truck or whatever, right? And everybody's driving, having a great time. And then guess what? Shaw and the goons show up. They're not having a good time. Mm-mm. They're there to take this fucking place down. And so they do pretty easily. They're fucking knocking cars off the bridge, this long ass bridge, and people are dying and shit. Regular families are on this bridge too, and they ain't having a good time. You know what I mean? They were just trying to go to the beach or whatever.
A lot of casualties.
A lot of people abandoning their cars and like running in the other direction.
It's the right move.
A lot of irredeemable things that happen under Letty's watch on this. I'm just gonna let you know. Like
what? No,
well,
she was like,
save it. So then, yeah, they've already figured out the Toretto gang's like, we're on it. We're on the case now. And so like. The Shaw gang's already infiltrated the big old truck. We don't know what they're getting inside of the truck. And so you remember that tensile strength cable? That was also a really funny scene when they shot it by accident in between Dom and Rock.
Yeah, that was awesome.
They shoot it correct this time. They come original, as they say. And then the truck hits it, and you're like, this truck, it's a tank! A tank shoots out.
That's awesome.
Settling again. I'm sure this was said a long time ago. I don't remember it, but I do distinctly remember a Kind of Funny Morning Show. Where Nick Scarpino got shit from one Tim Geddes about the line, they got a tank, and him being like, oh, it was in an old movie. And you were like, no, it's in the new movie coming out because there's a tank in a trailer in a future movie. Doesn't matter. It's a tank. And this is a tank, Dom.
And it just runs over the
and
driver.
And they are just flapjacking.
Believe. Practical.
Look at the cars that thing fucking
destroying
run down.
Cars.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, and so it's cool. Like, and this is what you're talking about, where Letty is like to Shaw, hey, bro, you don't need to be killing people. And Shaw's like,
It's a little weird because this is a little bit of a departure from this, like, almost smartly written character of Shaw, where he just becomes this, like, maniacal asshole for no reason. Like, what part of your plan does this play into of, like, where you're just creating mayhem? If the plan was to get caught, why did you need to kill all these people? But to go back to my original point was, like, they pull up before they get the tank. They pull up. They sandwich the car into the bigger truck, and then they get up and they murk the two drivers. They just fucking murk them. Yep. And Letty's like, I'm cool with this. I'm like,
Well, they're
Letty,
bad guys.
You're killing a lot of people.
They're bad
here.
Guys.
I'm just saying.
And they are killing good
I'm
people.
I'm just saying, everyone knows that when you get amnesia, your true colors come out.
It's so many of these scenes are so cool and like really well thought out and like shit that just like the way they like hooked onto those cars, merged it, and then made it like. So
a
they could just
bridge.
Walk over
yeah,
and kill.
Cool.
It was really
was cool.
Cool.
Yeah, really,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
really
cool.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and at this point, Robin was like, I was watching it with Robin. She was like, well, this is it's a tank. It's slow. Like, who gives a shit?
Not
I was like, well,
tank.
No. I was like, this isn't a World War II tank. Like, this is a modern-ass tank, and they're faster. Like, granted, they're not as
Our
fast as their vehicles.
Fast.
They probably go,
I mean,
30, 40 miles an hour.
No, I feel like
I
they
mean,
go maybe, like,
going 70.
I feel like 50 or 60 is where they're at now, maybe.
100.
Look it up. Facts of the Furious.
So they're pancaking cars. Everybody's running around. We need a new plan. It's all very funny. All good dialogue. Everything's awesome.
And this is what I like. They give everyone something to do. Obviously, Luda, completely traumatized from the last time he got in a car, is like, I'm not driving a fucking car anymore.
Exactly.
Sits on the bridge that can overlooks the entire
world.
80 mile stretch of this
thing,
so he can narrate the entire scene. Great.
Although, to be fair, you could actually do that.
You could.
Like at the place where we shot Love and Sex Stuff, the new upcoming season, when we were standing on the Sutro fucking park or
whatever.
Oh,
yeah, you could see the whole thing.
Straight down, down the Great Highway, and you're like, I got the whole fucking thing.
This is what I like. There's just enough characters in this to give them something fun to do. We lose Dom for a little bit here. I don't know where he is at. But Tyrese is like, I got to try to stop this thing. Gets in front of the fucking tank. Fucking was like, terrifying. This is a terrible idea. I don't know why I did this. They're going to shoot at him, and he realizes they're going to shoot at him, so he breaks, and they shoot right in front of him. Really, really cool.
So cool.
And then for some reason has the electronic wince. Is it wince or winch? Winch.
Winch.
Winch. In the back of his car. I don't know when or how they installed that.
I mean, he was playing with it. I think he just put it in his car. Yeah.
Cool. Climbs out, figures out, like, this thing's going to go underneath, so I'll attach the thing. And it's smart. Like, this shit... They actually give everyone something to do, so you don't feel like that Tyrese is just this fucking random side character for comedic relief. And then Tej comes in,
Brian. Okay.
Brian in a dope ass Ford Escort comes and saves the day.
So good.
Believe it or not, Too Furious reunion.
Tanks can actually move at about 25 miles per hour on flat terrain and up to 45 miles per hour on roads. Some tanks have even gone as fast as 60 to 70 miles per hour for short periods.
Again, this is a tank with NOS.
This is an advanced tank.
NOS.
So yeah, then Brian's trying to knock the thing over to act as an anchor, the car that the tank's dragging.
Right.
Finally gets it to go. Letty's outside because they were trying to get it off.
Like,
they
get over it. Get on that thing.
She's out there trying to do it, but they don't give a shit about her. They're going to get rid of her. And so then Dom comes racing up.
Han and Giselle are doing stuff too on the motorcycle.
They sure are.
Oh, yeah, there's a part where, there's a great part where the guy's got her dead to rights, and then she just hangs off the fucking thing and just points again, I don't care, and then Han, moves out of the way. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's really good. So then Vin drives on over there, right, and in this awesome fucking scene, right?
And my favorite scene in the whole series.
This was the first time I've ever been in a theater where people the entire time were just kind of chilling, and when that happened, eruption of applause, and just, cheering.
He smashes his car. He jumps out of the car. She jumps. He grabs her. He turns his back and lands in a windshield.
He landed on a car. He's fine.
How did you know the car would be there?
I did.
That's not a thing you want to land on, though.
I know.
A car?
You're going right for the
windshield. Here's the thing. It looks so cool.
Luckily, there was a car there to break.
Here's the thing. I had a lot to say about the ridiculous scene at the end of Fast 5 where I was like, this is not believable. And I think for this one, it's easier for me to suspend disbelief because this feels earned. Mm-hmm. We have the characters building up to this. They don't know each other, and we finally see that Dom is actually willing. Like, this is what pushes Letty over. Dom's willing to give his life for her because he loves her so much, and that's like, you feel that in that moment. Is it ridiculous? Yes. Is it physically impossible? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He would have died.
They would have died here, and they would have just fallen, right? Science would have kept.
But that moment where, and it's the sound design's great, the fucking sound cuts out, it's and they just...
moment that just bam
grabs it right, and it feels it's dumb as shit, and I know it's dumb, and I know it doesn't make any sense.
So cool.
But it feels earned, and it does what it needs to do.
It built the world.
It's all dumb as shit. I love
that world. Yeah, dumb as shit, and you're just like, cool.
Yeah,
give me more dumb.
It worked.
And so that's it. The tank's anchored. Pop the champagne, everybody. We've got a win.
Done.
It's over. Take the W. And they drag everybody back to the base or Interpol. I don't fucking know. And they all, they got Shaw in a containment unit downstairs. He looks like the fucking Joker. Everybody's like, we got it. It's over. Yeah. And they're all celebrating, having fun. They're talking to Letty upstairs. And then,
they're talking to Letty upstairs. Mm-hmm. And this is a very important fact of the Furious here that might shock you. Brian and Letty talk, right?
Yep.
This is my fault. The only time they talk in the entire franchise.
That doesn't surprise me.
One on one or
really?
That makes sense.
Any dialogue between them at all.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's interesting.
Good scene though, right?
Everything
that happened to you was my fault. And she's like, I don't know what happened, but I know myself.
I might not remember, but I know one can force me into anything I do.
Except for the time they forced me to steal that tank 5 minutes ago, and I didn't want to.
She wanted to. She had doubts.
She didn't understand.
Meanwhile, Rock kicks in the door. Toretto, Shaw's here, and you want to listen to what he has to say. We're just walking this guy around, right? And just letting him fuck everybody, but no big deal. And they're like, what do you got to say, Sean? He's like, I told you from the beginning, motherfuckers, that I would bring this to your house, and I would do all this stuff. And they get this cool, flashback or, what's been happening. And it was fucking, they were invading the house for Brian's stupid kid, Jack, and Elena was there. And
what's your problem with Jack? He's the next future Fassbender.
Stop dressing him like an idiot.
We're going to get a Jack O'Connor movie at one point, and it's going to be fucking awesome.
Jack and Brian.
It's going to be Jack and Dom's kid.
Mia
Dom and
gave
Letty's kid,
Jack,
Tom.
Jack to Elena, and she ran off, and then Mia just let herself get taken, and then call Mia, and they call Mia, and Brian's like, Mia? And she's like, Brian! He's like, ah! He just puts the phone down, doesn't even listen. Ah! He's just like all mad, and they're like, "Ah, fuck!" And then Shaw's like, "Here's the deal: you let me go with the chip, and everything's fine. And if not, fuck you and your family. I'm gonna kill him." And the NATO guy or whoever is just like, "It's millions of lives versus one. Like, this is
literally a whole country of lives versus the, I can't let you out of this place."
Yeah.
And you'd think The Rock would be like, "Oh God, I can't argue
with
that
logic."
He's
making a lot of sense.
The Rock takes his giant gun and points at his head. He's like, "No, everything's changed. Everything's changed.
Has it?
Have your men lower their weapons." Yeah. The men all lower their weapons.
Because we killed a lot of people to get to this point.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
And they're like, "All right, let it go." Yeah, let it go. And let him go. And like, "Oh, fuck." And so Shaw's driving away, and he's like, and he calls his people to be like, "You're fucking killer anyway."
No,
and guess what? Everything's jammed.
He goes like this: "You coming, babe?"
Oh, yeah.
And it's that rack focus from Letty to Gina Carano. She's like,
and you're like,
"Of course.
This is an unnecessary twist."
And they hold hands.
But the thing was this, it wasn't, right? Because I was wondering, I'm like, how did they get these fucking, like, these FBI dossiers of them at the beginning? Mm-hmm. How are they always one step ahead of them? Okay. It makes a lot of sense. It was a really cool moment. They didn't do a good point of like nailing it home that there's a mole, but you look back now and you're like, "Oh, why did she let that arm bar go?" Because she's working with Letty. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
It was really good. It was a really good turn. We got a good guess out of the audience last night.
I love the audience is Portillo and Jen.
And Lucy.
Oh, and Lucy.
So we had a lot. There was a lot going on in the house. Portillo definitely gasped at the entire time. He's just having really problems with himself.
He's a little wheezy right now.
They walk away. They drive. Tej jams all signals. And guess what? They're not going to get out to radio anything, which would be like cool on the one hand, but also like I'd be worried that there would be a call of like, "If you don't hear from me in 15 minutes, fucking kill her."
Yeah. No, but he did call. He called and spoke to her right before Tej says that where he was like, "We don't need her anymore." No?
He's talking to somebody in the car. Where they're like, "What do we do about Mia?" And he's like, "We don't need her anymore." And he goes to call him.
I thought he was.
No. He didn't have AirPods in. He was just talking to somebody else in the car.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't retain this movie like I did Fast Five.
There's a lot going on.
It's a really good movie. Yeah. Dude. It has some beautiful moments that like.
And so now everybody's just going to chase down Shaw or whatever, and they're driving the 38 mile whatever fucking landing strip, and like driving, and they're like, "Oh, we're going to get him." And Shaw looks at him and he's like, "Eh." And then the fucking giant cargo plane comes in and it lands.
Mia's in the plane too, which I thought was weird.
Me too. And so they land, and then it's like Mia's in the plane, and they got to get on the plane. So Shaw drives his car onto the plane, and then. There's just a lot happens here.
Dude, and here's the thing. Like, this entire sequence, like, stupid long runway aside, is perfectly choreographed so to the minute on multiple fronts going on, where it's amazing action fighting, amazing action with vehicles, amazing action using NOS fucking grappling guns.
Yes.
Every one of the teams doing something cool, and then there's emotional payoff moments.
So good.
Multiple ones. Yeah. And there's epic moments that it keeps building up to the point that getting a little ahead. When he busts out of the front of it, it's just like, it felt like a perfect paced action scene.
Mass Effect 1.
It's so good.
Can we talk about that scene really quick where he busts out out of order? It's interesting that he busts out in like such a cool, epic, like, he fucking did it. And then it's like, oh no.
But see, I like that.
He's rolling. Is he dead?
I don't know.
We'll see. I thought that broke the buildup.
Just because I feel like it was one of the first examples of them playing with our expectations of knowing what happens in the trailers. Because that was the scene from the trailer.
Got it.
And so seeing him crash after, you're like, oh, shit.
Well, years from like seeing the trailer, it is one of those things where like I just felt like that broke the momentum.
What I liked about it, right, was the idea that I've done it. I'm Superman. I've achieved the goal. But it's like when a racer finishes the race and then like their legs give out and fall down. Like for me, it was this weird mashup of, I know this sounds weird, but man and car, right? Of like, I've done it. I've accomplished the thing. Like it's the mission is accomplished. Right, I've done the thing. I've protected my family. Exactly. Mission accomplished. George W. Bush.
But yeah, it's just great because like once they get into the cargo plane and start going, it's like once the fight scenes start happening and then you get the moment that we've been waiting for, it feels like our entire lives, but it's only
the
been
super
one
head
movie.
We already talked about that.
Of The Rock and Vin Diesel
teaming
fighting
up
together,
switching off partners and stuff. Okay. It was awesome. It was really, really cool. And so, really good stuff. Shit, she's getting shot. The plane's got like 7 cars hanging from it, like a Christmas tree taking off. They're all slamming into each other. It's all cool. Fucking Giselle's death. Heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
That whole scene, it's like as it's all happening, like I've seen this movie so many times now, but it gets me every
It's so fucking good.
Han's reaction is great. Yeah. The only criticism I have of the scene is that she gives her life to shoot the guy, but
doesn't kill him.
Yeah. I
hate that. I fucking hate that because it robbed us of an actual like great moment
where he sees her falling off. If we'd have seen a shot where that bullet went right through his fucking head and the guy falled off and all we had left was just Han by himself, I think that would have been way more powerful.
Was that the the guy that was fighting?
I don't know, but I mean, it might have been the
unstoppable fighting machine, right?
But either way, he just punches the guy a lot, and then we don't really get a resolution. Yeah.
Han chucks him into the
engine.
Which is a great scene.
Let's rewrite it right here. Bullet through the head, but Han's still pissed, and he's punching the dude in
dead
the head.
Body.
Yeah. He's and the guy's dead, but just it's like stomps you see the rage.
He just
stomps
the guy's head like Ryan Gosling in fucking Drive. He just stomps him in the fucking ground into mush.
Yeah, heartbreaking scene, man. It really bummed me out. And then yes, again at the end, Han's reaction. It's like watching your dad cry for the first time.
And
when,
it was
like,
that thing.
Really,
is. I appreciated about it, like watching it last night. You know, everybody's waiting for Dom, and when he comes out, everybody celebrates that. Or most people celebrate it, and like I think it was Jen who was just like, "What about Giselle?" What? And I'm like, "No, this is actually really well done, and actually kind of an honest moment of like, hey, we all did it." And then Mia gets to be like, "Hey, wait, where's Giselle?" And go over there, and like, it hasn't echoed to everybody yet, right? Yeah, they are still over here celebrating one part, not realizing.
I love that she asked several times and he never answers. Like, breaks my heart. Yeah. Yeah. Breaks my heart.
The scene itself is so well done too, because it's one of those things that's like you see it about to happen, you know what's going to happen, and then she lets go. Pulls the gun out and it's just such a badass.
Yeah. And and you don't see her hit. She just disappears.
Yeah, it just gone into the black.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
They did she could
a
still be
real good job there.
It is one of the, it is one of those things where, and this is a minor criticism, but we have seen people survive worse than falling off a plane that's going.
That was
like
Jen's
80
other
miles
comment. Somebody should drive back
and
look
and just see if she's alive. Yeah. She might have amnesia. Who knows? We don't know.
Shaw survives that fall.
It's true.
Yeah. At
wait,
the end.
Whoa, we don't know that.
What we're come on.
Wait, what? Which one?
Jesus Christ.
Keep going.
I actually didn't know that.
Anyway, so...
That really is fucked up then.
The tank busts through the plane, and then Vin Diesel headbutts through the car or whatever, and he just like flies out of the car like a fucking dolphin breaching the ocean. Yeah, beautiful.
The flying headbutt was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It looked so cool.
It looked so dumb.
In the dumbest way.
I thought he was going to do a Superman punch where like jumps up and punch, but he just his arm just went behind his back and he just dolphined it. It's like a weird thing.
So
then Rock's there. Vin's alive. He walks over, gives him this for this thing. Yeah, name your price, Toretto. And then it's Luda or Tyrese. Like, what? And then guess what? There it is, the original house.
With the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Song
and
playing,
it's the address. And
three.
In the back, everybody's barbecuing back there. Everybody's having a great time.
I love this.
The fucking kid's there dressed like a moron.
No, he's working it. They're going to build a car. I like this because, I mean, the main sort of like B conflict of this movie is that they have everything, but they don't have their freedom. Really. Right. They can't go home. They have their family, but they can't go home. And finally, they get to go home in this. And I think that's really, really cool. And it's not, they don't beat you over the head with him being a father, but they do have that one poignant scene where he's like, when they're in Brazil, and he's like, we have everything, but why does it feel so like empty?
Yeah.
Like, and it's because we can't go home. We can't be home
feel
with family
right,
together.
Right?
It doesn't feel right.
Every line of dialogue and in that last little epilogue bit, I love so much. Because then when you get the shot of the house, you hear the music, you see all their supercars parked around.
Lambo parked out front.
It's
and
then,
great.
Then you go in and like you see them having the barbecue. And it's like, I just feel like there was so much character interactions.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I enjoyed. The Tyrese Rock stuff and Luda, all that stuff was fucking great. Han
Tyrese,
so you're in Tokyo? He's like, I really feel like I have to.
Do you think that scene where they had the back and forth where he's like, your big ass forehead? Because Luda spits.
Oh,
he's
that,
like,
that was
wonder,
real.
That's
that was
a real,
real.
Scene.
In the trivia, that's a real scene.
Oh, my God.
Because
you could tell that he got him with that.
It's so funny. I love it, man.
You can't fuck with The Rock, man. He's a professional shit talker.
Yeah, I know.
God, it's so good.
And so, Michelle Rodriguez there. He's like, does this bring back any memories? She's like, no, but it feels like home. It's like, yeah.
It's nice.
And then Tyrese
later comes. I got a family too. And you're like, cool, bye.
And she's back as a cop.
Yeah, like, I guess.
They just let her back in. You're like, this is a little awkward.
She's on Hobbs' teams now.
I think she's going to be.
They're taking volunteers. Whoever wants to go.
Everybody keeps dying or returning with Hobbs, so they got to do something.
Do a background check.
Tyrese takes a chip, and then he starts doing the prayer because he says the grace, and it's very sweet, and everybody they've lost, and yada, yada, yada.
And then, boom, credits, Luda music.
Luda, here and I drive the car.
Plays for a little bit, and then, boom. It just fucking says
this.
It.
This killed this. When I saw this in theaters, I was like, "Whoa, whoa,
gasp!"
It
was an awesome gasp in the theater of like, "Holy shit, holy shit!" And we all thought, that he was going to somehow survive.
I thought he was going to live.
No.
No. Not only does Han not survive his death, it is revealed that there was another car,
that
knew he was
going to
be there, T-boned him, killed him, and it was Jason Statham, a new fucking bad guy coming out. Dominic Toretto, you don't know me, but you're about to.
But you're about
boom,
to.
The explosion of Han. What?
I really loved when he tossed the cross in front down there. You know what I mean?
Was there
ever a
better post-credit scene
he gave
in the history of anything? I don't think so.
No.
This
was
is
great.
Unbelievably ridiculous, and it sets up so much. Here, what?
I mean, I'm not prepared to answer that question, but I have to imagine one of the MCU after credits is better than this.
I don't know. This retconned him in and made him the worst fucking person.
Don't get me wrong. It was an awesome retcon. It was an awesome thing.
Favorite. Boy. Dominic Toretto.
You don't like Han?
I like Han fine. I don't have the erection for him. You guys do. You guys are so in love with Han.
Yeah, well, because he was fucking cool.
Oh, I thought you meant Statham.
He just eats a lot. No, Statham.
He's
really
cool,
fantastic.
Man. Just like me.
Kevin's been staring at that knee jerky you throughout
this. I'm so mad about it.
He's so cool. You know who isn't cool, though? That stupid little fucking baby with the dumb clothes.
I'm Jim!
Okay.
No,
okay.
I wear a bonnet. Blue sometimes. It's white other times.
Can't wait for you to have a child. Can't wait for you to have a child.
I swear to God, that kid's going to be dressed to fucking impress every time.
He's going to be dressed like a Ghostbuster every time.
What else is there?
He's going to be dressed like a Ghostbuster every time.
Sometimes a Slimer, sometimes a Stay Puffed.
Here's what I'm going to say about this. Before the credit scene, this movie, I think, I love this movie. I think if the entire series minus credit scene were to stop here, I would have been like, that is a fucking
100%,
awesome
100%.
Ending. Awesome ending to the six movie, like, sixth trilogy. Amazing movie.
That's nine.
Awesome ending to this, right? The fact that we get to go on, to me, anything past this is just extra icing on the cake.
Yeah. No, that's so real. It's because Han died, and we don't want to live in a world without.
Well, I still hold that both Han and Giselle are alive.
So the series could go.
I'd live in a world where he gets blown out and he's had amnesia for the last.
What's cool to think about, right? You brought it up. What's cool to think about is where we are now. Well, actually, really sad to think about is where we are now. If Gal hadn't become Wonder Woman, I bet you'd actually have a pretty good shot at a Han Giselle movie.
Oh, I still think there
I still
is
think
a good
they're
shot.
Gonna get. I think no we're gonna way. Get
maybe not Han Giselle, but the
female
spinoff that's happening.
I'm gonna pitch you this though. What you if we got that movie that led up to them sitting in that that cafe in Shanghai?
I watched the shit out of that.
It just starts there. They're like, we gotta go back to the States.
All of their scenes together just made me so happy.
They got good chemistry,
except for that last one.
What's that?
You mean ends there?
Well, if we had a Han Giselle adventure that ends at that that scene, and then it ends with the authorities coming up and like throwing her the phone, and
I love it,
like, we got to go to fucking London or wherever.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Cool.
So now, as of this movie, we're caught up chronologically of the series so far, where the last scene chronologically is Vin Diesel.
I'm Jason Statham
rolling up next to fucking Tokyo Drift Boy.
Yeah.
For the race.
Tokyo Drift Boy.
Yeah. Sean Boswell. That's his name. It's time for Haiku in Review. If you are a patreon.com/kindoffunny member at the bras membership or above, you can submit your reviews in haiku form.
Seven syllables in the middle. You need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme.
Haiku in Review. Haiku in Review. Everybody,
stop.
All right. First off, Trevor Stark, he writes in, that long-ass runway, so many miles of heartbreak. Rest in peace, Giselle. That's
big
some poetry
ups.
Right
beautiful,
there. Good
dude.
Job.
Big
good
ups.
Job for that one.
Well done.
Vince Patel says, it's London, baby. Oi, governor. Letty's back. Dom's flying headbutt.
That was so dumb.
An audible laugh for me.
It was so good.
I had to rewind it.
It's like he forgot what the choreography was going to be, and then we're like, nah, you know, we got to move on. We got so many other things to shoot in this.
Oh my God, this one's really good too. Suburbanite Slob. Han falls for Giselle. Dom and Letty reunite. Giselle falls for Han.
No. Too real.
Come on.
That might be the winner of this, of all of them.
That's great. That's really good.
That's really, really good.
James Davis, this is not so much a review, but I like it. What if in Fast 9, after they go to space, half turn to dust?
Okay.
Because they're in the Marvel Universe?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Fucking awesome.
That'd be a great trend
if they're just doing something
in movies.
Yeah. Matt Rohrbeck says, these stunts are crazy. That runway's hella long. Brother Shaw killed Han. I like that you got some rhymes in there.
They don't need a rhyme, though.
But we like that you're doing it. That's that extra effort. You're getting more points.
Wow.
That's it. Yeah. Love you guys. All right, now it's time for Ragu
Bag.
Ragu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rag Guys Talk Bad Guys, the podcast within a podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the glue, Big Kev Dog. Over there, the Hispanic heartthrob, Andy Cortez.
You don't know me, but you're about to.
If you didn't know, Ragu Bagu is us ranking all the villains of the Fast and the Furious universe. Currently, our list stands at number one, the Reyes / Toretto gang. Number two, Braga. Number three, DK. Number four, Johnny Tran. Number eight, Carter.
Johnny Tran, also in Silver Linings Playbook.
Really?
Where do we want to put Deckard Shaw?
Number one.
I think number one.
No one's asking the audience. Yeah. Do you want to support us on patreon.com/ kind of funny? Yeah, he's number one.
I want to say he did lose some points when he went psycho on the road and started.
Let him have a little bit of fun.
Can you just, you're not on this podcast.
You can tweet at us, though, at RaguBaguVids on Twitter.
And if you Venmo Andy $69, you can put up a tweet from the RaguBaguVids.
That sounds like, that's not right.
I mean, there's no more Patreon tier, so we had to do something.
Okay, yeah.
You can Venmo me.
And me, too.
No, just me. Game over, Greg.
We'll split it.
I'll give you something.
$34.50 to me, $34.50 to you.
Okay, nice. Haku in Ragu.
All right, now it's time to rank the Fast and Furious universe. The current rankings are as follows. Number one, Fast 5. Number two, Fast and Furious 4. Number three, Tokyo Drift. And number four, The Fast and the Furious. Number five, Too Fast, Too Furious. I put this at number one.
This is number one for me.
Because
hands down.
I feel like it's such a solid movie. It really fulfills what I look for in Fast and Furious movies, which is fan service, great action, great dumb character dynamics. It's funny. The set pieces are huge. There's multiple set pieces that are impressive. The post-credit scene is, like I said, my favorite
ridiculous
of all time. And this is the most Han we get that's not Tokyo Drift. And Giselle as well.
Yeah, to me this has, I love this. I think it's got everything that I want. It's got heart. It's got, you know, it's earned moments. And it's got wow moments that actually wow you, right? There's at least three moments in this where you're like, what the fuck? The tank, him coming out of the nose of the thing, him saving Letty. Those are all moments where you actually feel like, a little stressed out, and then boom, you get that payoff, that emotional payoff.
Oh, you know why I said Mass Effect 1? Because Vin Diesel walking through the smoke at the very, very end, is it like pretty much exactly how Mass Effect 1 ends? Like they're like, it's looking, it's like the camera's panning like, is he there? Is he going to? And then out through the smoke, and you're like, oh, shit, what a great moment. Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. I agree with everything you guys have said. Mm-hmm. I think personally, I like Fast 5 more.
Me too.
Because I like, stick with me, I just like the origin story of the group and the way they all came together. And it was more, even I know we talked about it, like there was more them just talking and maybe other relationship stuff. I guess that's, I think, something I've been.
It was more.
In terms of like them building who they all are together, as together.
So many different
you get it here for sure. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that like they did such a good job
in
building
five,
off of
that
five,
six was more payoff.
100% as well. That's my thing. I'm not arguing. This is number one. This is the best movie. I just, something I've noticed in it, and you're really good at it. You always talk about the best action scenes. Action scenes for sure are where I just zone out. Where I can never tell you who does what or what because I just don't care. That's why I'm not drawn to movies like that. And like and for me, them talking is what I'm really into. That's why I think I have a softer spot for five. But again, I was thinking about this in the car ride over today. It's just like, I feel like it's similar to when I'm always like, well, Uncharted, I think absolutely. Uncharted 2 is better than 1 and 3. And like, because they keep adding to each other narratively and story wise. And I already have a connection for it.
Yeah, I think I remember, like, I mean, as you were recapping it happened in the show where I was like, I don't really remember this movie a whole lot. Like, I still know that I enjoyed it. I still know that on any given day.
You're like Michelle Rodriguez.
How long ago did you watch it?
Saturday. Yeah.
Dude, you might have a problem. Like, that's really soon.
On any given, stopped working in like 14 days. So.
On any given day, it could be number one, but I still do think I enjoyed Fast Five for all the reasons that you just mentioned. I just like the characters building and talking. And
But I refuse to fight. I'm not saying that.
Fucking great.
Same here, you know?
I really love what you're saying about the five having that moment where it brings the team together. And it's like, when it's like, we need a team, and then it has the shots of all of them.
Yeah.
And then when they first come in, and like the salute me familiar speech and all that, like that stuff is, I feel like, unrivaled. Like,
sure.
You can't really beat that.
But then the house here, the action here.
But my problem with that is it came halfway through the movie, if not later. Mm. Whereas this it's immediate the entire
act. But we also had that scene.
But that scene is, I think, better because it is just payoffs where it's not just seeing Tyrese. It's Tyrese being Tyrese in a plane.
Yeah, it's not
just seeing it's Han. Tyrese, bitch, it's seeing right? Han and Giselle interacting together. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like,
I just think overall this movie is a hell of a lot more tighter. It's clever.
Agreed.
I think it's a lot more creative than 5. And I think to your point, like, yes, I like the action sequences in all these movies. There's such a thin line of them being boring or them being actually like exciting. And that basically has to do with like whether or not there are stakes to these things. And I feel like just in 6, you care about what happens to these characters. Mm-hmm. Whereas in 5, I just found myself kind of my brain was just meandering a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? What is with the safe? Who cares? I don't know. I feel like everything in this one, this is the pinnacle of what the Fast and the Furious franchise can be. And I think they nailed it most of the time.
Yeah, I still think about the Rock handshake or the Rock and Vin Diesel picking each other. Like, that moment still hypes me up. And again, they could interchange on any given day. I do love that we didn't even mention this on the Fast Five review and Vince dying, right?
Yeah,
like,
we forgot about that completely. Yeah.
Vince, a very poignant
moment.
Vince dying is like their friend dying, right? And The Rock had all of their friends die, and that was what brought them together. And I liked seeing the friendship sort of start there, even though they're kind of like still like enemies, but not really. They're like, we're in this right now together.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to go take this fucker down.
I don't know. See, my thing is just as a contrary to that argument, the Vince dying thing was forgettable because there's so many different characters in Fast Five that you kind of lose track of what's going on. And you just like, Vince was not well set up. And when he does die, you're kind of like, oh, good. That guy's a fucking putz. Like, I just didn't care.
It was a good scene. Though,
yeah, give him the money.
But he's in the truck and he's like, I named my kid after you.
Didn't feel like I should.
What? His name Nico.
You fucking weirdo.
And he's like, oh, Dominic.
Yeah.
Oh,
well. Cool. Either way. Yeah, I don't want to keep reviewing Fast Five.
Great movie.
All right. So who thinks it's better than Fast and Furious 4? Raise your hand. Everyone raises their hand. Who thinks it's better than Fast 5? Raise your hand. Everyone except Andy raises their hand. The new ranking of the Fast and Furious is number 1, Fast and Furious 6. Number 2, Fast 5. Number 3, Fast and Furious 4. Number 4, Tokyo Drift. Number 5, The Fast and Furious. And number 6, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Two more movies.
And then two more and then Hobbs and Shaw.
Coming up, baby.
I totally forgot there was Fast 8.
You should watch Internet Explorers to find out.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't it
Shouldn't
like-
I watch Screencast?
Every week there's a new story on Internet Explorers that we'd say how many days it is till the show.
Wow. I didn't realize that it wasn't at the end of this.
I'm on that show. I forgot we do that.
I didn't realize it wasn't at the end. Like, I thought we were 3 weeks away from watching it.
Oh, yeah. No.
And like every Internet Explorers, I remember that we're not, and it breaks my heart.
You guys, after Fast and Furious, it leads right into Captain Marvel, which will be MCU interview. Wow. What's after that? We're having conversations. Let us know if you have any suggestions. Tweet at me at Tim Geddes. I'd love to know.
Corey Haiman review.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Lost Boys.
Lucas.
By the way,
that's right. Lucas.
This is me, of course. Totally forgot there was the Fate of the Furious. Totally forgot that was me. Yeah. I was like, we only got one more left. And then I remember, I had this weird premonition of Charlize Theron with dreadlocks, and I was like, wait a minute. Was that a real movie? Is that a real thing?
I've still never seen that.
Well,
sure. You're in this for is going
to
be the first time we do an interview.
I'm excited to see it again.
Yeah. We haven't seen it since we all went.
Yeah. All right.
Fun.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, until next week,
drive safe.
Thank you.
Buckle up.